are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshi on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
Ghetto people, yeah.
What are you gonna do?
You are listening to African Perspectives, where we view the issues of our day from an African worldview and African-centered perspective. This program is unapologetically African. It is a custom in the African tradition to ask elders for permission to speak, having been granted permission. To our ancestors, whose shoulders we stand on, to our elders, whose shadows we walk in, I greet you, my dear brothers and sisters, in the language of one of the greatest civilizations on this planet. It gave the world the basic disciplines of knowledge of science, math, architecture, music, writing, law, religion, you name it, we did it. The Greeks called it Egypt, but they called themselves Kemet, and Kemet means land of the blacks. I greet you all in the Kemetic language, the word of peace, Hotep. It is truly an honor and a privilege to pour libation because we truly do stand on the shoulders of those who came before us. We're going to use water because water has no enemies. Water is the great cleanser, the great purifier. Everything on the planet that lives, it needs water, from a tiny microscopic organism to a tall redwood tree. We pour water into the earth to invoke the spirits of our ancestors, and we say the word Ashe, which simply means so be it. So we pour this libation to God for all that God has done and for all that God will do. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to Mother Africa, birthplace of all humanity, everyone who has lived, everyone who will live in the future. We all have a common ancestral root in Africa. We pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. I mentioned Kemet in the opening. Kemet was the height, the apex, the zenith of African high culture. But there were others as well, as Timari, Punt, and Nubia. So we pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. Say Ashe. We pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa, of Ghana, Mali, Songhai, Benin, Great Zimbabwe, civilizations that were flourishing and growing while Europe was in a medieval or dark age. The University of Sankore at Timbuktu, an outstanding educational institution. So we pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the Ma'afa, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the Infakani, the great tragedy, uprooted out of Africa. Our brothers and sisters lay a carpet along the Atlantic Ocean. We're in North America, South America, Central America, and throughout the diaspora. So we pour this libation to our brothers and sisters who suffered the Ma'afa, the Infakani, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the great tragedy. We pour this libation in their honor and in their memory. We do not know their names, but because of them and their sacrifice, we are here. So we say Ashe. We pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. If you ever heard me do a libation, you will know that we were not slaves. I repeat, we were not slaves. We were captives. What does a captive want to do? Get free. So we pour this libation to all those men and women who fought against enslavement. In fact, I maintain that some of us are more of a slave today than we were in our initial captivity, because some of us are a slave to vice, to corruption, to drugs, sex, and violence. So we pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement: Gabriel Prosser, Nat Turner, Denmark Vesey, Harriet Tubman. We always resisted, and we will always resist. So we pour this libation in the name and in honor of those men and women who fought against our captivity. We pour this libation to those unborn, those young men and women who will once again lead us back on the stage of human history as a free and proud and productive people. We sashay. We pour this libation to brotherhood and sisterhood, together for the union of family. We need each other. We don't have good family life. There's a saying, conditions shape conduct and consciousness. The conditions in our community are bad. The conduct towards each other is not good. Because why? We lack consciousness. And consciousness is more than just awareness. Consciousness is a deeper understanding of who you are historically, who you are culturally. So once we begin to understand the importance of brotherhood and sisterhood together for the union of family. Brothers and sisters, let us all say, Ashe, Ashe.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Good morning, African world. You are listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network, on timeforanawakening.com, and blacktalkradionetwork.com. And I am your host, Brother Oshi. Hotep family, hope everything is well with you today. I know this is the weekend, living for the weekend. And I know you're going to do all the things you want to do, should do, must do, could do, will do, and have to do. And I know that you're going to do it. And I know that you're going to do it in spite of what the weather may be. Because that's the kind of brother and sister that you is. But I do hope the weather is accommodating for you to do it. I know that here in Atlanta, it has been warm. It's been in the 80s. Kind of tells me that it's going to be Hotlanta this summer. It's going to be Hotlanta. And I know for the other parts of the country, it's still chilly. Yeah, well, the weather is what it is, and they mess the weather up for everybody. You know, probably the most disastrous thing that happens now is earthquakes, tornadoes, hurricanes, cyclones, whatever you want to call them, disastrous weather patterns. And that's too bad. Because really, in the human family being one, we could have changed this. But no, Europeans must dominate and control. In fact, I just seen another piece on Facebook of Franz Fanon with the quote of cognitive dissonance. You know, Europeans believe they are superior, and there's nothing, brothers and sisters, there is nothing we can do or say, excuse me, to prove otherwise. When they are confronted with that information, they ignore it, they dismiss it, it makes them uncomfortable. Just like the Caucasian lady, Dr. D'Angelo, right after the shootings that happened a number of years ago, she started doing workshops, Trayvon Martin and so forth, about what Europeans have done, and she's tried to give it to them straight, no chaser, and she came up with the saying, Europeans, Caucasians suffer from fragility. She said white fragility. That means that their egos are fragile. They don't want to hear it. They don't want to hear it from Caucasians, and they show in hell don't want to hear it from us. They don't want to hear how they've taken people's land, how they've murdered people. Some people to the point of genocide, like the Tasmanian, they don't want to hear that. They don't want to hear all of that. In fact, I just saw a piece the other day about England. The majority of the people believe that England, the United Kingdom, all that bull, was really good for humanity. What they did was a blessing for humanity. Man, don't get me started. Let me give the rundown of programs and other information
so I can get off into something else. But hey, you know me, it always probably reverts back to where we're talking about, because it is and it should be the conversation. It should be. That's what we should be having conversations about, so we can have clear understanding. This is African Perspective. We're here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., 10 to 12 Central, 9 to 11 Mountain, or 8 to 10 Pacific, or any other time around the world. But if you cannot listen to this program live, you can always go to our archives, timeforanawakening.com. Look for the red, black, and green line with African Post, and then you click on that, and you can go to the archives, which programs are dated and titled. Also here on Time for an Awakening, on Mondays, I hope it happens this Monday, Brother Franklin Jones of the Black Matrix. The Black Matrix program should be premiering this Monday following this program. And that would be 2 p.m. Eastern. 2 p.m. Eastern for 2 hours, from 2 to 4. 2 p.m. Eastern. I go off at 1. He comes on at 2. Mondays and Wednesdays. I hope all is well with that. Also on Mondays is Acres of Diamonds, public affairs programming out of Philadelphia. And that's from 6 to 8. And then right after Acres of Diamonds is Let's Buy Black 365 from 8 to 9. On Tuesdays, Black Reality Think Tank with Dr. William Rogers from 8 to 10. On Wednesdays, Revive with Sister POC, also from 8 to 10. Thursdays, Relationships with Joy and Troy at 7 p.m. Relationships with Joy and Troy, 7 p.m. And today, it's Friday? Ha, yes, if it's Friday and it's 8 p.m. Eastern Time, that means it is time for an awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard, 8 p.m. this evening. Tomorrow, 10 a.m., Saturday Sports Talk with Troy Wilmore, 10 a.m. to 12 noon. Sunday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., POC, Proof of Consciousness, in the program Revive from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. And then, of course, Time for an Awakening on Sundays at 7 p.m., with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. And of course, the number to call is 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. Also, too, on Wednesday after my program will be Brother Franklin Jones. So we want to make sure that we get all that information in. Yep. So we buy black. WeBuyBlack.com, the largest online marketplace for American African-owned businesses. Get everything you need from American African-owned businesses. Go to their website at WeBuyBlack.com. Okay? And let your mouse and fingers and clicking do the shopping. But if you're in the Atlanta area and you're near the Greenbrier Mall, you can check out WeBuyBlack in the Greenbrier Mall. They have a kiosk and they have the laundry detergent. All these things are produced by us. Batteries, toothbrush, toothpaste, deodorants, all kind of limits, all kind of stuff. Check them out. WeBuyBlack.com. Africa for the Africans. AfricaForTheAfricans.org. Bomani Tahemba. Brother Bomani Tahemba will be taking another group of our people to Ghana. And that is this month, the 22nd to June 4th, May 22nd to June 4th. He also has a trip in November 22nd to December 2nd, to Johannesburg and to Cape Town. And then at the end of December, December 24th, to January 4th, 2020, he's going back to Ghana. And so to me, check that out. Go online, give him a call at 404-931-9429, 404-931-9429, Brother Bomani Tahemba. And if you want to check out pictures from the previous tours, go to facebook.com/Bomani. If you want to check out videos of those tours, go to youtube.com/Bomani2007. Get a chance to also to see the progress of Garveytown. Shrine of the Black Madonna. located in the West End on Ralph David Abernathy Boulevard here in Atlanta. Open Wednesday through Saturday from 12 to 7 and Sunday from 1 to 3. And they have books, furniture, artwork, clothing, the red, black, and green shoes, you name it, they have it for you. They even have an African Holocaust Museum, the Shrine of the Black Madonna, located on Ralph David Abernathy. And the number to call is 404-549-8676. 404-549-8676. And if you are free on Saturdays, they have a Black History class, Know Thyself, every Saturday, open and free to the public, 1:30 to 3:30 p.m. But if you can't do that, but you want information, you can also contact the Shrine because they have a multimedia library that you can purchase that has over 15,000 video files, over 15,000 images, over 40,000 audio files, and over 2,000 books. It is, brothers and sisters, 4.5 terabytes of African enlightenment all on your computer for you to do how you please. Other bookstores in the Atlanta area, if you don't have a if you have a bookstore in your area, brothers and sisters, please support it. If you don't, I know you wish you did. But we have a few. And the other bookstore is in the Greenbrier Mall next to the kiosk of We Buy Black. And that is the Medu Bookstore. Check the Medu Bookstore out. And if they don't have a book that you're looking for, believe me, they'll get it for you. Brother Kazimde Ajamu, talked to him this morning. Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore in Lithonia. Number to call is 404-519-8107. 404-519-8107. He has books, artwork. Excuse me. He has the red, black, and green shoes. The NASGAS. He has the new editions. I got the white ones. But I want to get those Khalid Muhammad's, man. They look real comfortable. There's, you know, that cloth top. You've seen them. Excuse me. Maybe not that shoe, but you've seen them. ULU, Us Lifting Us, the Economic Development Cooperative for Our People in the Spirit of Ujamaa, Cooperative Economics, or as we like to say, Family-Centered Economics. Last night, Thursday night, was their broadcast. The Thursday night broadcast is at 9 p.m. Eastern Time, and the number to call is 929-477-2789, 929-477-2789. Yes. Us Lifting Us, the Economic Development Cooperative for Our People. We have pulled our monies together and we created Cafe ULU, located on Sylvan Plaza, 2036 Sylvan Road. 2036 Sylvan Road, we've had our anniversary. We're still going strong. We're open Tuesday through Friday, 6 a.m. to 7 p.m., Saturday and Sunday, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. And we have coffee. That's right. Brothers and sisters, we have coffee. We have African coffee. We have Cameroon Boyo, which is my favorite. Tanzania, Kenya, Ethiopia, where coffee started. We have coffee, brothers and sisters, and it is delicious. We also have loose teas and other things that we have at Cafe ULU. And everything at Cafe ULU is produced by us. So check it out. We have the Throwdown tomorrow. That's right. The Saturday Throwdown. ULU members monthly social. Live. Not live music. We're going to have some DJs. That's right. Monthly birthday celebration. So if your birthday is in the month of December, come out to Cafe ULU and celebrate with us. Or let us celebrate with you. It is your birthday this month of December, of May. This month of May, rather. Excuse me. Did I say December? Man, I don't know. This month of May. And, of course, the number to call, and it's from 7 p.m. to 11 p.m. tomorrow. 7 p.m. to 11 p.m. tomorrow at Cafe ULU, 2036 Sylvan Road. And you can dial 404-592-2780. 404-592-2780. The first Saturday every month, we're going to have the Throwdown at Cafe ULU. The black card game. Your black card could be revoked. A game where questions are asked, and of course, if you don't answer them, and in a way that your black card could be revoked. You ain't black enough. Okay. And also, too, we have a vitality drink at Cafe Ulu, and it is Ambrosia. Our good brother, Brother Novak Young, produced that. He has a new drink coming out, too, and I hope that we will have we'll be able to premiere that drink at Cafe Ulu. Akabin Institute, once again, I'm constantly and will always support Baburudi and Yaburudi at the Akabin Institute. The education that he provides for our people is outstanding. And the P.O. Box for Akabin Institute is 10786, Atlanta, Georgia, 30310. But you can pay using PayPal and Cash App if you want to give a donation once a month, have a recurring, whatever that is, that would be great, or one-time payment, that would be outstanding, whatever the case may be. And at PayPal and Cash App, use $ YAAM Baruti, BARUTI. Also, too, you can go online and paypal.me/Akabin Village. We need that support, brothers and sisters. We appreciate that support. Abakasin Sumsum. Abakasin Sumsum, the 16th anniversary of African spiritual warfare, honoring the memory of Nana Dr. John Henry Clark and our warrior ancestors, Francis Cress Welsing and Dr. Bobby Wright, Dr. Amos Wilson, and so many others, Queen Mother Moore. And the theme, the African promise, winning the war, building world African sovereignty. Abakasin Sumsum. So, brothers and sisters, if you are in the Atlanta area tomorrow at Sweetwater State Park in Lithia Springs, Georgia, that is I-20 west of Atlanta, and so it's not that far from Atlanta outside, Lithia Springs suburb, and we're going to have a beautiful time, and it's always inspiring. Last year, in fact, brother, last year, Baba Kwaku out of South Carolina did a beautiful job of channeling Dr. John Henry Clark and all the other brothers and sisters that came out to support Abakasin Sumsum, African spiritual warfare. Dr. Layla Africa will be in Atlanta. He is a living legend. Dr. Layla Africa, the state of African health in America, the 2019 seminar. And that's going to be next week, Saturday, the 11th at 7 p.m. at Wadada Book, at Wadada Juice Bar, Health Market and Juice Bar, 878 Ralph David Abernathy, also in the West End, right across the street from the West End Mall, all in that area. Yep, that is next week, Saturday. Also, too, Juneteenth Day. Juneteenth, of course, the actual day is June 19th, but this is the weekend celebration, the 14th, 15th, and 16th. All kinds of good things are going to be happening. It's going to be held at the Builders Square parking lot. There will be a lot of room there. They have the parade. They have all kinds of good stuff. And that is going to be June 14th, 15th, and 16th, the Juneteenth Day Music Festival, Atlanta Parade and Music Festival. That's how I should say it. Free admission, so it spread the word. That's right. And from the park to Home Depot backyard. The Home Depot backyard is by the new Mercedes-Benz State Stadium. So right on. Okay. Inye Sesim. The Revolutionary Daily Thoughts. The Inye Sesim. And of course, today is May 3rd. And I'll read tomorrow because it's Dr. Bobby Wright. May 3rd. Well, I didn't read yesterday. I'm going to read yesterday, May 2nd. May 2nd. We have dared to be free. Let us dare to be so. By ourselves and for ourselves. I repeat, we have dared to be free. Let us dare to be so by ourselves and for ourselves. Jean-Jacques Dessalines, the Haitian Revolution of 1804. People tell us we should forget about our homeland, ancestors, and traditions because we are much better off here. They tell us that being brought to this place saved us from ourselves by giving us religion and reason. They would have us believe that the brutalities we face here are no worse than those faced by others. And therefore, we should not overburden ourselves or bother others with feelings of betrayal or dehumanization. They say digging up lost memories is truly a waste of time and energy, better spent admiring the beauty and the promise of this place, of this time. We are warned that delving into the past creates unnecessary pain and suffering and instigates a rage better off left dead. They say we must be patient as they work the Caucasian magic of grafting us into Europeans. They tell us that if race cannot be seen, racism does not exist. And if we want to remove race as our problem, we must remove all memory of an African past. However, none of this really makes any sense because without self-knowledge, there is no African. If an African becomes culturally, intellectually, and religiously and socially European, he or she has to be turned away from being African. Something has caused that individual to forget who he or she is. To be African, whether now or in the time of our ancestors, requires the knowledge and patience and practice of what it means to be African. Affirm, I'm learning and practicing what it means to be African. Affirm, I'm learning and practicing what it means to be African. May 3rd. Be mindful of those teachers who insist on referring to themselves and their students as African Americans. They are generally not comfortable with being an African and will define African American vehemently, claiming they are both. Ironically, you seldom see the African side of these individuals. Yas Antiwa Nzinga. Most of us refer to these types of Negroes because their loyalty is to the European nation first and to the African community last. They still see Europeans and the culture they have forced on the world as correct and the best that humanity has to offer. They cannot live in a world without Europeans in charge. A world without a white presence is unimaginable to them. They have no interest in nation building unless that nation is a European one. Subintegration and interracialism leading to an eventual amalgamated assimilation into whiteness is their foremost aspiration. Anything that moves them away from their God-like masters is considered treasonous and attacked with all energy at their disposal. They cannot imagine a reality where Africans are independently empowered. It is impossible for a sub-integrationist, interrelationist, Eurocentric, multicultural orientated conservative Africans to pursue the interests of our community because they do not see themselves as Africans. By their very words and deeds, they admit that they believe we are incapable of executing the kind of nation-building responsibilities that are an effective re-Africanization process that which it would require. Affirm, without qualification, I am African. Affirm, without qualification, I am African. May 4th. Historically, the European system has encouraged the killing of blacks. And since blacks have been led to believe that they are part of the psychopath's system, they simply follow the practice. That's right, Dr. Bobby Wright. Historically, the European system has encouraged the killing of us. And since we have been led to believe that we are part of that system, We simply follow the practice. No one kills themselves more than we do. As analyzed and coined by our warrior scholar ancestor, Dr. Amos Wilson, Western culture is crimenic culture. Crimogenic. Like other cultures, it inevitably and naturally reproduces itself in everything that flows from it. When it is afflicted, with its afflicted hand, it forced by the non-European public because of a glaring contradiction arising from being caught behaving immorally and unethically while playing the moral and ethical judge of others. It only needs to explain away its abnormality as a problem of a few troubled individuals. Yeah, it's abnormality as a problem of a few troubled individuals. But the need to hide behind this lie will only last a short time more. Because if nothing changes, it is only a matter of time until an explanation of their criminality will become irrelevant. For once it successfully turns the world into itself, it would have both made the world inherently criminal and further removed itself from the position of being humanity's savior, because it is greater experiences managing its own historically chronic criminality. They are criminals. Affirm, I will not harm Africans except for a just cause. Affirm, I will not harm Africans except for a just cause. If it comes down to it and your weak-minded butt needs to be, yeah, we'll deal with it. All right, dear brothers and sisters, Inye, say some revolutionary thought. Let me read this. Oh, also, too, today, Disaster Awareness for Community Preparedness comes on Fridays from 4 p.m. to 6 p.m. on Blog Talk Radio. That is my good brother, Brother Yusuf Muhammad. And they talk about what is happening and what can happen, what will happen, what may happen, but more importantly, they help you find a way to protect yourself. Disaster Awareness for Community Preparedness. And the number to call for them is 563-999-3089. 563-999-3089. If we do not approach the problems in Africa with a common front and a common purpose, we shall be haggling and wrangling among ourselves until we are colonized again and become the trolls of a far greater colonialism than we suffered heretofore. Dr. Kwame Nkrumah. Those are prophetic words. If we do not approach the problem in Africa with a common front and a common purpose, he was talking about the unification of Africa, not Ghana, not Nigeria, not Senegal, not Tanzania, but all of Africa. Sitting down, discussing the problems that all are having and finding ways to deal with them. We didn't need no damn Chinese or nobody else. We had it right there for us. And we still do. But because of misleadership, weak leadership, or lack of leadership, or no leadership, the colonization is taking place. As he says here, until we are colonized again and become the trolls of a far greater colonialism than we suffered heretofore. Man, I hate that. I'm going to read that consistently. We need to understand that. It is important that we truly understand what's happening to us. And what continues to happen to us is by design. Today, I tried to have a guest, but it didn't work out. Couldn't get it going. But in the mail was my newspaper for the American Institute of the New World, The Arrow. So we're going to have an Arrow Friday. It is the April edition. So it was last month's edition, but hey, you know me, I love this newspaper, and I hope that you will become a subscriber of the newspaper. All you got to do is The Arrow, 646 Home Green Road in San Antonio, Texas, 78220. you can give them a call at 210-333-0118. 210-333-0118. Give them an email, obu@twc.com. obu@twc.com. The Arrow Newspaper is a monthly publication of the Institute of the New World, Organization for African Unity. Letters to the editor or other comments are welcome in remembrance of Baba, or as they also call him, Babu, which means grandfather, James P. Johnson, founder and managing editor. The term African is used throughout the Arrow to refer to those otherwise known as American Africans or Blacks. No matter where the descendants of African people reside in the world, we are African regardless of nationality. Ashe. Before I read the main essay, I'm just going to go through the magazine or through the newsletter and point some things out, read some things. One of them here is Asamuka, Asakamusa, Akasamusa, Bereshango. Dr. Bereshango's birthday and my birthday are the same, April 27th. Dr. Asakamusa Bereshango, affectionately known as Baba, was a dynamic minister, prolific author, historian, educator, and motivational speaker who was born April 27th, 1938. Dr. Bereshango received his Bachelor of Arts degree in religion from Oakwood College in Huntsville, Alabama. He studied for his master's degree at Northeastern Seminary in Tacoma Park, Maryland. The New African University Network System of D.C. saluted him with an honorary doctorate of philosophy degree in 79. Baba was elevated to a Grand Master Scholar in 2000 while in Kemet. He was also co-founder and creative director of the Fourth Dynasty Publishing Company in Silver Spring, Maryland. Dr. Bereshango also stressed that we can never free our minds as long as we view God as a white man, or as long as we keep worshiping white people's holidays. Worshiping white people's holidays. Bishop Henry Turner McNeil, back in the 1800s, said, "I believe God is black. He's got to be black, because if God is a white man, there is no hope." As a popular lecturer, Baba left behind a vast collection of recorded speeches and on such topics as 10 points on the African-centered realities of religious thought and practice, the role of religion in African historical development, and the African origins of the Bible. Books he offered include God, the Black Man and the Bible, African People and European Holidays, as well as African Women, the Original Guardian Angel. Dr. Bereshango was completely dedicated to the physical, mental, and spiritual liberation of African people. We are the only people who celebrate our... Dr. Bereshango said, we are the only people who celebrate our captivity. Well, we do. Because we celebrate our captors' religion. We celebrate their holidays. So he's right, isn't he? Remembering Paul Robeson. Paul Robeson was born in Trenton, New Jersey on April 9, 1898. He was the youngest of five children born to Reverend William and Maria Robeson. Through the strong values and determination instilled in him by his family, Robeson won a four-year scholarship to Rutgers University, where he excelled both academically and athletically. Later, after completing requirements at Columbia Law School, Robeson entered the field of law, but left the profession due to racism. At his wife, Estelana's urging, he entered the theatrical field. Whether it was his acting ability, which was evident in his performances of Othello, or his baritone voice, which could be heard in the many spirituals he sung, Robeson was committed to using his talent to make changes in the society. Roberson said, the artist must elect to fight for freedom or for slavery. I have made my choice. I have no alternative. He would fight for freedom. As an international performer, Roberson was noted for his dramatic performances as well as his singing ability. He made several films, but was criticized by Marcus Garvey for his stereotypical role portrayal of African people. During the 1940s, Roberson continued to perform and speak out against racism, supported organized labor, and worked for peace. He spoke and performed at strike rallies, conferences, and labor festivals worldwide and headed an organization that challenged Truman, President Truman, to support an anti-lynching law. In addition, Roberson was quite vocal in his opposition to segregation, segregated theaters and eating places to generate before the beginning of the civil rights era, a generation before the civil rights era. Fluent in several languages, Roberson's international appeal and outspokenness against oppression brought suspicion from the State Department. After he openly questioned why Africans should fight in any army of the government that tolerated racism, the House Un-American Activities Committee labeled him a communist. Roberson saw his attack on the democratic rights of anyone who worked for the international friendship and for equality. The accusation nearly ended his career. Concerts in the U.S. were canceled and his passport was revoked, prohibiting him from performing abroad. It was an 8-year struggle to regain it. Roberson was a pioneer in performing political material support to the liberation movement in South Africa and was unyielding in his resolve to end the oppression of all people. He retired from public life in 1963 due to ill health and transitioned on January 23rd, 1976, at the age of 77 in Philadelphia. In December of 77, an ad hoc committee to end the crimes against Paul Roberson was formed to protest the inaccurate portrayal of Paul Roberson in a play. The committee stated, "For we in the American African community have repeatedly seen the gains amongst us reduced from revolutionary heroic dimensions to marginal, menial size. If they cannot be co-opted in life, it is simply enough to traitor their images in death." I repeat that. If they cannot be co-opted in life, it is simple enough to tailor their image in death. Paul Roberson. I love this magazine. You know I do. I always promote it. Always promote it. They have good articles in here. They pay tribute to great people. You know, a lot of good information. It says here, for African people, remember COINTELPRO. As African people continue to work to build and strengthen relationships, institutions, and communities, let history remind us that our unity threatens those who wish to keep us divided. COINTELPRO caused great divisions amongst African people during a time when we sought with great efforts to unite and do for self. Understanding that our greatness and our power lies in our unity, let us work toward cooperation versus competition, humanity versus ignorance, humility versus ignorance, communion versus agitation. We must remember that we are not one against another's enemy. Rather, we're one's brother and sister. It is together that we can do great things. It is together that we can do great things. Tips for when African people come together. Use your historical records when making decisions. Work directly with our people so they are involved in the process. Number three, embrace counterculture programs and accumulation programs for transformation. Number four, establish study groups. Number five, develop economic ways to reach out to the community. Number six, identify problems that can be addressed and solved by the community itself. And number seven, work on finding ways to get our people from under the eye of television to a media management and direction that is by us and for us. Ashe. Once again, brothers and sisters, you can
subscribe to the Eros is $25 a year. $25 a year. That's all. The yearly subscription is $25. Fill in the information and send a check or money order to OBU Incorporated. Attention, the Arrow, 646 Home Green Road, San Antonio, Texas, 78220. It's just that simple. And you can have this information. In fact, tomorrow at Bacchus and Tsum Tsum, I look forward to seeing the brothers and sisters from San Antonio. They've been there for the last 3 years. And in fact, they bring the newsletter. They bring the African World newspaper. They have printed this in the third edition. They print the African World newsletter. And it is outstanding. It's outstanding. The Organization for African Unity incorporates Save the African Family Month lecturers. And they have here Baba Mawali Mubarudi and Yabarudi will present a workshop on relationships. Mawali Mubarudi is the co-founder and co-director of Akabin Institute, an independent African centered full-time after-school homeschooling and tutorial program for middle and high schoolers. Over the last half decade, Baba Mubarudi has also taught various African-centered evening classes for adults at the Institute and online. Included in these was a writer's workshop for those interested in writing and self-publishing. Moreover, he is an experienced chess teacher who's taught chess at independent African schools over a decade. Baba Mubarudi is the author of 18 self-published books, Excuses, Excuses, The Politics of Interracial Coupling in European Culture, Negroes and Other Essays, A Chess Primer, Introduction to the Game of Chess, The Sex Imperative, Homosexuality and the Effeminization of African Males, Esafo, A Warrior's Guide to Manhood, Complementarity, Thoughts for an African Warrior Couples, Menticide, and Other Essays, Kibuka, Remembering the Middle Passage Through the Eyes of Our Ancestors, Eurasian, an African-centered critique of Eurocentric social science, Battle Plan, Notes Toward Higher Ideas in African Intellectual Liberation. And I got to go back here to page 12 at the back. African Center Guide to Writing and Self-Publishing for Warrior Scholars. Inye Sesim, A Calendar of Revolutionary Daily Thoughts. Yurugu's Eunuchs, Centered Building African Realities. A Warrior's Character and Message to the Warriors. He is currently working on a book entitled Asylum, which examines the insanity of European culture and identity, which will recapitalize a number of sociological concepts in African-centered themes. Brother Mubarudi serves as an assistant professor of sociology, he used to serve as an assistant professor of sociology at Morehouse College from 1991 to 2001. Committed to these students, he has served as a faculty advisor to numerous student organizations at Morehouse, as well as other institutions in the Atlanta University system. He received his graduate training at the University of Chicago and taught at Chicago State as well. Recognized for his dedication to the community, he has been a keynote speaker, guest lecturer, and moderator for numerous forums, programs, and activities in a number of places around the country and around the world. His lecture topics has ranged from African manhood, male-female relationships, European sexual insanity, interracial coupling in the Middle Passage. Brother Mubarudi, he lives in Atlanta, Georgia, with his lovely wife for 28 years, Yah Mubarudi, and also co-founded and co-directed of their homeschooling program. Brother Mawali Mubarudi will conduct workshops of African female relationship, male and female relationships during this year's Save the Black Family Weekend in San Antonio, Texas. I should ride down there and check it out.
I'm telling you, man, if Baba Baruti is involved, you know what's going to be on. It's going to be on. Oh, yeah. What does the Organization for African Unity want? Number one, we want to see the divisions of African people come to an end. Please, family, we want to see the divisions of African people come to an end. We want to see the African community move collectively to develop African owned and operated businesses. We want to develop a sense of African culture. We want to control the education of our children through the creation of African-centered institutions that teach and train our youth and adults alike in the knowledge of self and the universe we live in. We want institutions built for the constructive, educational, cultural development of our community. We want to see a cadre of young men and women emerge with the purpose of protecting the legal and moral character of our community. I want to say that again. We want to see a cadre of young men and women with the purpose of protecting the legal and moral character of our community. We want to see an African value system come about that will prepare us for a more collective and productive way of life. This value system can be seen in the Agunsa Saba, the seven principles. We have all we need. The seven principles of Kwanzaa speak to all that we need. Umoja, unity. That's the first one. The underlining theme of Kwanzaa is unity. And we need a functional unity for us as African people in this country and literally around the world. Kujichagulia, self-determination. No one should speak for us but us. No one should do for us but us. What we can do for ourselves. Self-determination. You know, this program, African Perspectives, every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. is all about independence, self-determination, liberation, and sovereignty for us as a people. The Nguza Saba, Ujima, collective working responsibility. We work together and we be accountable to one another. Ujamaa, cooperative economics. Spending money with one another, believing and trusting one another. Nia, purpose. Our purpose as a people is to break the chains that the cracker has on our minds, release that vice grip, look at him for who and what he is. Not that we can do anything to change that, but now that we know and we clearly know, we come together for us, our purpose. Our purpose is to lead us into the future independently, self-determinedly. That's our purpose. Not to go to school and beg crackers for jobs. Kumba, creativity. Not just the creativity that we have in the arts, but the creativity that we have in the mind of the things that we've done. On the program this past Wednesday, Brother Franklin Jones talked about the many things that we created in spite of being segregated, in spite of enslavement, in spite of all these things. We were the world's leader. People came from far and wide to sit at our feet. Before anybody was, we were. Creativity. And last, Imani, faith. Faith not just in God, but faith in ourselves, faith in each other, that no matter what roadblock, detour, pitfall that are put in our path, we will overcome them together. We have what we need. We can do the seven principles of Ma'at, of truth, righteousness, harmony, balance, reciprocity, order. We have everything that we need. But our right minds. Brothers and sisters, you're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network. on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. We'll be right back with more from The Arrow. Stay right with us. We'll be right back.
You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshi on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
Ah.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters. Once again, you're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network, on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. Excuse me. We're here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Other programming here on Time for an Awakening Media on Mondays, Acres of Diamonds. Well, actually, I've got to throw Brother Franklin Jones in. He's on Mondays and Wednesdays. Monday and Wednesdays from 2 to 4 p.m. Monday and Wednesday from 2 to 4 p.m. following my program. And that's the Black People Matrix. On Mondays, Acres of Diamonds from 6 to 8, followed by Let's Buy Black 365 from 8 to 9. On Tuesdays, Black Reality Think Tank with Dr. William Rogers from 8 to 10. Wednesdays, Revive with Sister POC from 8 to 10. On Thursdays, Relationships with Joy and Troy, 7 p.m. If it's Friday and it's 8 p.m. Eastern, it is Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. Saturday, Sports Talk with Troy Wilmore, 10 a.m. to 12 noon. Then on Sunday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., Revive with Sister POC, Proof of Consciousness. And then Sunday night, 7 p.m., once again, it's Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. And, of course, the number to call is 215-490-9832, 215-490-9832. We're going through the newspaper that I'm asking you to subscribe to, The Arrow. If you are a conscious African person and you're hearing this, no matter if you're hearing this wherever you are, you should subscribe to The Arrow, the Institute of the African World. Of course, by subscribing to The Arrow, all it takes is for you to the yearly subscription is $25. Make a check or money order to OBU Incorporated. Attention, The Arrow, 646 Home Green Road, San Antonio, Texas, 78220. 78220. Your information in and subscribe to The Arrow, the Institute of the African World. Exercises for African Mental Health and African Self-Respect, Dr. Neely Fuller and Dr. Francis Chris Wilson. We should stop gossiping about one another. Stop name-calling one another. Stop squabbling with one another. I just read to you about what Kwame Nkrumah said, because we're squabbling and all this pettiness. Stop snitching on one another for a reason of personal gain. Stop cursing one another, especially cursing our children. Stop it. Stop being discourteous to one another. Stop being disrespectful to one another. Stop stealing and robbing from one another. Stop fighting one another. More important, stop killing one another. Stop throwing down trash where we live and work and play. Stop making dirt and filth the norm. Stop using and selling drugs to one another. Stop our children from thinking that as children they can be adequate mothers and fathers as children. Stop believing that welfare will save you. Start believing in prosperity. Stop pretending that racism, European Caucasian extremism, racism and privilege does not exist. Because it is real. It is global. I'm going to tell you how you can stop. Get this newsletter.
and read it. Tell you how you can stop. Listen to this program and internalize it, but more importantly, act on it. All these things can be done. On the back, they have the calendar of events. And, of course, they have Leaders Wanted in the upper left-hand corner. Leaders Wanted. They have 8 leaders that they show. Leaders Wanted, reward, freedom, justice, and power. Study these for the qualifications if you are want to be one of these leaders. Study these 8 people. Winnie Mandela. You know how strong she was as a leader in South Africa. Stephen Biko, the most potent weapon in the hands of the oppressor is the minds of the oppressed. Fannie Lou Hamer. I know, sick and tired of being sick and tired, but my favorite is never forget where you came from and always praise the bridges that carried you over. Baba Jacob Carruthers, Baba Jetty, Jacob Carruthers. Queen Mother Moore, one of the earlier fights after Sister Callie House for reparations for our people. Babu Phil Johnson. And of course, he's the one who started the ARO and the Organization of African Unity in San Antonio, Texas. Yaa Santiwon, the warrior queen. And of course, Dr. John Henry Clark, my favorite scholar, my favorite warrior scholar, and the honor that I had the opportunity to literally sit at his feet at the Indiana Black Expo in the 90s. I can't remember the exact day, but it was in the 90s. We're going to read essay that bears Baba Phil's name, always in the front of the newsletter, the newspaper. And they have a picture of Abu Simbel. They have a picture of Abu Simbel. I do a presentation, which I'll be doing when I go to New Orleans for the Black Firefighters at the end of this month, at 31st to June 8th, excuse me, and it begins with a picture of Abu Simbel, and I explain that what was the true engineering feat. When they made the Aswan Dam, they flooded Nubia, where Abu Simbel was. Abu Simbel was underwater. An international team of engineers began to cut the stone and then put it on a plateau on dry land inside of a mountain and put it back together. Truly an engineering feat, like a jigsaw puzzle. Putting all those people back, all those pieces back together. But where it was initially, 2 times a year, when the sun rose, it penetrated into an opening of Abu Simbel, of that temple, to Ramesses the second. And it went all the way through and illuminated the sanctuary, the Holy of Holies. I ask you, which one of these, now you can argue they're both great engineering feats, but of course the one at this particular time with all the instruments, all the tools, the cutting tools and so forth, all the calculations and all of that to aid. But thousands of years ago, from the 18th dynasty, they were able to place that temple in a position according with the movements of the heavens, the rising and the setting of the sun, that two times a year that the sun would penetrate and illuminate the Holy of Holies. Truly, as far as I'm concerned, that was the engineering feat. Oshua Kwesi, a Kemet New Productions. Kemet New, KEMETNU.com. Kemet New Productions. He conducts annual educational tours to Kemet. Brother Dr. Kwesi and Dr. Ben, Dr. Kwesi is a prodigy, has been traveling to Kemet for over 35 years. The tours provide African people with the opportunity to return to antiquity in modern times to gain an eyewitness account of the grandeur of our ancient ancestors' achievements and contributions to civilization. You can go online to Kemet New, KEMETNU.com, and find out when a tour once again will begin. I think he does at least two a year. So, and how much they'll be and so forth. You don't want to miss them. Every African, even on the continent, needs to go to Kemet in their lifetime. It's just like in Islam. It is said, if they can afford, every Muslim should go on Hajj. Every Muslim. In fact, when a Muslim has their name El Hajj, that means they've gone on Hajj. They mean they went through the process and all the things that it entails, circling around the Kaaba and all of those things. Well, as far as I'm concerned, we as African people on the continent and throughout the diaspora, we should go to Kemet, because Kemet is the grand civilization that we created. It gives us an understanding and a guide of what we have done to let us still know what we can do. We didn't ask nobody for permission. We didn't ask anybody for help. We did it ourselves as African people. We didn't have anybody slaving. We didn't have somebody outside of who we are and cracking the whip and the lie of each year towards the so-called Easter or the Passover bull. That didn't happen. We did it ourselves. The Truth Hurts and It Heals by Bubba Phil Johnson. A lie was told about us many years ago. It said we were Negroes, not Africans. Africa was not our homeland. We were called niggers, coons, gals, boys, and were classed as creatures closer to the ape. This lie hurt then, and it still does now, locking us down and driving us into denial and hatred of our African humanity. This lie about our inferiority was told to gain absolute power over us and our wealth. Unfortunately, over time, both we and the lie has come to accept and cooperate out of the lie as it were the truth. We operate out of the lie as if it was the truth. Now, for the liar, it is the pain of being exposed as just a human like all the rest and falling from a godlike status. The pain for us is the shame of facing the fact that our humanity was stripped from us as we were forced to function on a level below an animal. We both have lied, stolen, manipulated, oppressed, and even killed to maintain some false sense of self-respect in this unholy relationship. However, the same truth that we fear will bring pain can also purify and uplift, kill yet resurrect and bring into existence new life. Once the veil is removed from our eyes, new opportunities to define and defend, reconstruct and develop our dead African humanity will be manifested. To attain this healing truth, we must study our history. I repeat, To attain this healing truth, we must study our history. To get through the embarrassing, dehumanizing saga of captivity with its rapes, humiliations, and murders, we must be armed with the courage and commitment. Yes, it is painful to review and study the African Holocaust, but not to study it is to ensure its continuation. Yes, it is painful to review and study the African Holocaust, but to not study it is to ensure its continuation. Just learning the lessons of our commitment to unity in the past will help us with breaking up our internal struggle and providing a rallying point for unity today. Our hearts will be uplifted by the philosophical, psychological, and spiritual correctness of African thought and practice as written and lived by our ancient African fathers and mothers. When the truth is finally out that it was our African ancestors who gave civilization to the world, it will shake the very foundation of the liar's false superiority and cause much rumblings in the heart and minds of those who have, over time, come to believe that we had contributed nothing. When the truth is finally out there that our inferiority is a sham and a scam to undermine our humanity, our creativity, not an act of God's creation, we will seize control of our own power to define and defend and develop our image and interests. When the truth is finally out there that materialism can never be accepted as a compensation for our existence in the pale, destructive shadow of oppression, we will throw out all the useless junk that barricades our progress as a culture and move to unity African people and to unify and unite African people everywhere. When the truth is finally out there that our enslavers, our captors, can never initiate our freedom, we must become our own liberators. Until we move against oppression by whatever means necessary, we remain in the jaws of our oppressors, no matter how many friends fight for us. When the truth is finally out there that our enslavers can never initiate our freedom, we must become our own liberators. Until we move against oppression, by whatever means necessary, we remain in the jaws of our oppressors, no matter how many friends fight for us. When the truth is finally out that for 435 years or more, we have been contained through false promises, intimidation, assassination of our leaders, terrorism, and other genocidal attacks. This great truth, we call into question the real intent of a number of people, including a few Africans who are gaining at our expense, as they hold firm to tokens and minor gifts, as progressive moves to advance our culture. It will push some of us to get involved, not only for self, but also for our culture. It is imperative for us to begin the long, painful journey into our past, not to get lost in misery and hate, but learn those needed lessons that will help throw off the lie and reveal the great and noble truth about our great contributions and our great suffering. Armed with the truth, we can now face squarely our dilemma, solving through our hurt to our healing. Once baptized by the truth, let's close ranks and continue to march unified in this millennial commitment to freedom, justice, and equality of opportunity for African people. Ashe. 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 I always love this newspaper. I look forward to it. It has been something that I have read to the listening audience for many years now. It will continue to do so. It is for the benefit of us that we infuse ourselves with knowledge of self on a constant basis. It doesn't make you hate anybody. I've been doing this for years, decades. I hate no one. But what I do hate, I hate no one. I love humanity. But what I do hate with a passion is a system that was created by Europeans and imposed upon the world. I hate it with a passion. And I believe we can't destroy it. It will destroy itself. But in that process of destroying itself, it will destroy us if we do not get up out of it. If we don't step outside those boundaries, if we don't release that vice grip, if we stop believing, just like Duty Bookman said. Duty Bookman said in the Haitian Revolution of 1804, he said, throw away the white man's God and you will be free. Throw away his God, his religion, his holidays. You will. He didn't say you might. He didn't say you could. He didn't say you should. He didn't say possibly. No, he said you will be free. Do we have the courage to do what is necessary to liberate ourselves? We got a caller, 646, 646. Good afternoon.
Hey, Oshi, I see you asking for a lot, man. You, how do you have the right to ask the Negro to give up his God? Lord have mercy, that's blasphemy.
I know Oshi, it is, ain't it?
You should be ashamed of yourself asking this crazy Negro to give up their God.
I know, man.
You know, I mean, that's, Lord have mercy.
I know.
What you going to do?
I don't know. Jay, I can't. Hey, I'm telling them to give up to daddy.
You know, if they gave up the Sky Daddy, I believe a majority of them wouldn't know what to do with themselves. It's just like, you know, I had to continuously argue with these fraternity Negroes.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, why is it that every time you turn around, these Negroes represent some Greek culture.
Right.
And when you tell them about it, they want to try and argue with you about it. I say to them, if I taught the Greek how to wipe his behind, how he going to ever be in a position to teach me anything?
Right.
That's the problem with y'all Negroes.
That's right. That's right.
How could you?
And see, Jay, the European, that is the European's foundation. When you look at European and they're looking at their history, they always revert back everything to the Greeks and then to the Romans. So the Greek is their foundation. But now if you take a critical look at Greek culture, the freakishness, the dysfunction, the hatred for others, you look at the Greek culture, there is no way in hell should we as African people be branding on our arms Greek symbols and having Greek.
Or even associated with it.
Right.
Or even associated with right. it as an emphasis of participation or expression of our so-called cultural behavioral way towards being civilized.
Right.
How do you use that as the platform for you supposedly doing good in your community? What the F is wrong with you?
Yeah.
I mean, think about it.
Yeah.
How are you going to say you're using this symbol for you to do right in your so-called community and bypass your African self, your African symbols, your African deities? I mean, you know, the mindset of the Negro is insanity.
Yeah.
That's insane.
In fact, you know,
how did you ever put somebody else's culture in front of your own?
Because that's the training, Jay.
If you want to run off to me some Greek nonsense about a fraternity, Negro, get out of here if I kick you in the behind for GP.
And you know, I had a discussion 20-some years ago, might be even long, about this very same thing, you know, at a college university talking about Omega Sci-Fi and Kappa Alpha Kappa and all those old kind of, and all the brands they have and so forth, you know. And I'm saying this is coming out of Greek culture, and who they are they and what they have done. In fact, you should reject this, reject all this Pan-Hellenic bull, and say we're going to be comedic. We're going to brand on Ankh. We're going to brand on a pyramid. We're going to brand on, you know, something that is African. We're going to have the African lodge, you know.
They'll look at you like you crazy.
Oh, that's
they'll look at you like you insane.
Yeah.
I mean, that's why, you know, whenever a person tell me he a Greek freak, as I call them, I don't deal with them.
Yeah.
Because I already know you mentally insane. You sick. You know what I mean? It's just like Wilbur Leon. You know who Wilbur Leon is, right?
Yeah, I do. Uh-huh.
So I did a post yesterday talking about if you run across anybody in the fraternity, run away from them because they sick Negroes. So Wilbur Leon says to me, do you feel that way about Martin Luther King? I told him yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
I told him yes, and he went away. Because, see, the thing is this. I don't care what you say and what you do it. Your loyalty is going to be to that fraternity before it's going to be to your African self. Because if it wasn't, you wouldn't even mess with it. I've heard too many cats talk about some fraternity nonsense before they talk about African anything. So that's why I don't play with them. I don't care who it is. I don't care what Negroes in a fraternity. I don't mess with you. I got family members who are in fraternities. I don't even mess with. I don't deal with them. Matter of fact, I shouldn't say it, but I'm going to say it. I had my sister one time get mad at me because I told my daughter, if you join a sorority, you are effing fool.
Yeah.
Oh, man. She went off. I said, okay, now I only got one question to ask you. Explain to her, what do this Greek nonsense got to do with your old culture? She couldn't say anything. Then I made it even a little more brutal because I said to her, ask your mother, what does she know about African culture compared to this Greek nonsense? Oh, man, ain't talked to me for a while after that one. I cut my name. Hey. You know, I'm not going to play no games with you when it comes down to my culture. You're never going to try to tell me anything about no Greek freak nonsense.
Yeah.
Before we talk about African culture.
Well, listen, there was something.
We don't even have to go deep. We just have to go based on simple premise stuff. It's just like I always say, if you look at this whole fraternity and sorority thing, we as a people really shouldn't be in the position we in. Because if you think about it, our so-called talented 10th, our so-called best, the majority are in these fraternities.
Right.
But think about this. What have they produced?
Not a damn thing.
What are they doing? Now, let me give you something else that's going to blow your mind right quick. I was listening to your boy, known that bubblehead Roman Martin, on his show the other day. Now, I want you to check this out because this is real. You know, they got this radio host on Sirius Radio called Mark Thompson.
I know Mark Thompson. I know Mark. Yeah, in fact, listen, I asked, is there a program on internet radio, on Sirius or XM Radio, that is African-centered? And the response I got back was Mark Thompson.
No.
And I said no.
No. He just got an African name.
Yeah.
But he's a gatekeeper.
Yeah.
That's all he is. But let me get to the point. The point is this. Sirius Radio, and let me tell you how deep these people are and how they control and manipulate us. Sirius Radio took him off of air because she got into a little altercation with a brother from Newark, Brother Africa. Seemed like a good brother. Well, listen, the CBC has now gone after Sirius Radio because they have no blacks in executive positions and on the board. So what happened was, Novak on his program, I think it was Wednesday night, talked about how the CBC was going after Sirius Radio because of no board members that were black or anything like this, and how we should get behind it and support black people being CEOs and being on boards and all of this. But see, what black people really don't understand and won't acknowledge, and this is how they play and they use us. When a Negro gets on the board, he becomes a rich person. Do you know that on most Fortune 500 corporation boards or most major, boards, that a board member makes six figures for showing up a couple of times a year?
Right, just for being on the board, right.
So now think about it. Prime example, Condoleezza Rice. Now everybody hates Condoleezza Rice, but do you know how many boards Condoleezza Rice is on getting six figures? Condoleezza Rice, I can guarantee you, makes over $1 million a year sitting on boards. Now, why am I supposed to be so happy about a Negro getting on a board who don't do nothing for African people?
Well, see, Jay, because they have a seat at the table, Jay. They have a seat at the table. We just want a seat at the table. You know? We can't make really no decisions. We have no coalition on the board, but we're just there.
Yeah.
Occupying a seat at the table. See?
And here it is. That Negro is now eating better than me and you. And ain't giving us nothing in return. But here it is. You want to get mad at people because they saying they want to build their own institutions and we can build our own institutions and do the necessary things to move forward instead of wanting to be at the table with these bastards. Because the people that's at the table, they're not building institutions.
Right.
They're not doing anything to move the community forward. That's why we don't have community, because every time a Negro get a hold of something, he want to run away from black folks and get closer to a cracker who don't even want your black power. But here it is, the funny thing is this. So now, you got this Mark Thompson who goes on, you know, television, MSNBC, and all these shows as the gatekeeper. A couple of days ago, he sit down with the brother who he disrespected, him, and Raj Baraka, the mayor of Newark, and the brother Marshawn, and they post the picture on Facebook and Twitter, so maybe now this Negro could get back his gatekeeper's position. And here it is, Negroes are thinking it's all good because supposedly it's about unity. But number one, you disrespected the man.
Right.
You understand what I'm saying? You didn't even have the decency on your own to apologize to the brother and make it right. You had to have so-called embassies of the gatekeepers crew who want to always put us in the position of whiteness under the auspice that we united as black people. You see what I'm saying?
Right, right.
And the sad thing is that the brother Africa is seems like a good brother, a community brother that helped a lot of brothers from Newark through his basketball program get into college and all of that. You know what I'm saying? So now this Negro, he done sold out to, I guess, be a part of the system. His black behind should know better. Because it ain't no way in hell if any man put his hands on me, not only am I going to whip his behind, but there ain't going to be no forgiveness.
Right.
No, I don't play that game, especially when you defended a position of whiteness. No! No! I'm telling you, you are cold and you are sellout, and then you want to try to put mitts on me? Oh, no, bruh. No. No. I should never have to be in the position if you're about your people telling you you are cold or a sellout.
Yeah.
If you're doing the right thing. So you telling me you trying to liberate me, defending the position of this United States against the attack by Russia, when here it is, you bastards, who only a couple of miles away is doing what you're doing to the Venezuelan people and have done to the Cuban people and all other people of color? Man, you got to be out of your effing mind. Right. That's even right. Come at me like that. And the sad thing is, the Negro can't even put it in context that they would even defend or go along with some nonsense about Russia doing something to America. F America. Look at what you do around the world. Look at what you do right next door. Look what you done did to the Haitians and Dominicans. Yeah. Every island that's in our stratosphere that has people of color, you know, effed over and manipulated, robbed, stole, did all sorts of treachery. And you gonna tell me I'm supposed to defend the fact that Russia's so-called somehow went after you? See, that's the sickness of the Negro.
Yep. Yep.
Why should I even care about what Russia does to America? I would feel bad if they didn't do nothing to America with all the stuff that they do to the world. It's just like when they was having this whole so-called argument in a way that Russia was dealing with Ukraine. Here it is, Ukraine is their next door neighbor. How the F are you going to tell me how I'm going to deal with in regards to my next door neighbor with what you do to your so-called next door neighbors?
Right, right.
That's the hypocrisy.
Exactly.
But you can't tell that to a Negro because a Negro don't understand that because they listen to some sort of nonsensical word, as far as I'm concerned, called democracy. Get the F out of here. You that stupid Negro? That's where we at as a people.
Yep.
We ain't got no clue.
That's right. We don't.
We got no clue.
We have no clue. We have no understanding. Yep. And just like Bobby Wright said, we kill each other because we've never been trained to kill Caucasians. It is outside our experience. So we do what we do because all of the stuff that you just mentioned has been because Europeans have dominated our lives and influenced our lives and made us believe that if it's not them, then it is bad, and that we need to be more like them and praise them and want to work with them.
Yeah. And that's why unfortunately Bobby Wright's not here, Amos Wilson's not here, and anybody else who done tried to point out to us we sick.
That's right.
Because see, the bottom line is, let me give you another quick laugh. It seems that old Facebook that decided to ban Louis.
Yeah.
Now, if you really about it, man, as everybody say, that you a gangster, that Louis a bad man, that Louis this and that, and the people behind him, then I tell you what you do, Louis. Stick your pit bull, Ava Muhammad, and the rest of your so-called lawyers, and sue Facebook. Then, when you do that, then I know you about it. Then you have a good reason to ask for donations. Now, if you don't sue Facebook and you just talk your talk, then I know you full of sugar, honey, iced tea, which I already know you are, but nobody want to call you out on it. But I'm going on record right now. He's going to punk out and just go along with his band. and talk a little sugar honey iced tea about it and say, oh, we need to create our own. We need to do this and that. But aren't we supposed to have freedom of speech in this country? Aren't you supposed to be able to defend what you said supposedly about the Jew? Aren't you supposed to stand up and defend yourself while under attack by your so-called enemy? Yo, now we will see what the Nation of Islam and Louis Farrakhan is really about.
That's a good point, though, Jay.
If they don't do, they a joke.
That's right. That's a good point. I think what you said earlier about him acquiescing and just going to say, hey, forget it, we should build our own, you know, but I agree with you. He should make that stance, because what has he done? He ain't done nothing to nobody. He's just saying, huh?
It's the principle. You're supposed to sue on the principle alone.
Alone,
reasons other than the principle alone that you determine what I said is, number one, not factual. Number two, not truthful. And that you labeling me a racist.
Right.
That's what men do. That's what real men do. They defend themselves. It was funny. I was watching a program with my old lady last night. And they had Alan Dershowitz on.
Oh, Alan Dershowitz.
If Alan Dershowitz was saying, I'm going to defend this to the end.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Now, that white man, as far as I'm concerned, is as dirty as they come.
Yep.
What she said about him is probably true, but he's smart enough and he's in a power position to be able to defend himself basically at all costs and let the chips fall where they may. Well, Louis, if you are head of the nation and you're supposedly, as they say, body, then you need to sue. Get your pit bull, Ava Muhammad, and the crew together and go in and sue him. And let it go where it go.
I agree. Now, I agree.
That's what a bad boy do. Now watch. When I call up Carl Nelson's show today and I say this, the Sickle Friends are going to go nuts. And I could give less than a damn. Because the bottom line is this. At some point in time, we as a people have to stand up and hold the cracker accountable for his sugar on the iced tea. And if we don't, then stop talking we bout.
That's right.
Stop talking about we warriors. Stop talking about we a nation. Stop talking about anything other than the fact that I'm just going to punk out and I'm going to have your dumb Negroes give me your money. That's all it is. You like the typical pork chop chicken eater pimp preacher. Let's keep it 100.
Yeah.
Let's keep it 100. You know what I mean? Let's stop playing games, because that's all you doing is playing games. See, the thing is, we got too many people like the Bubblehead Martins, No Neck Martins, who get in these situations and come in front of us, always trying to entice us into whiteness and using it as a part of being the system. That is ridiculous. So you're going to justify putting the Negroes on the board that don't do nothing for the community so you could have a face of show cause instead of building your own institution. Okay, so I'll even go even further with you. I'll give you a perfect example of one of those gatekeeping Negroes. You ever heard of Richard Parsons?
Richard Parsons?
The head of AOL and Time Warner.
Okay, yes, that brother. Yes.
Yeah. Well, let me tell you something, bro. Let me tell you something. I'm going to give you an experience I had with him and his wife. I picked him up one day, and he didn't get into the car, but his wife got into the car, and I recognized him. And I said to him, oh, you Richard Parsons. He said, yeah, I'm Richard Parsons. I said, you know, that's good. You know, nice to meet you. You know, blah, blah, blah. You know, because them Negroes sometimes are always a little surprised when you know who they are.
Right, exactly.
All right. So his wife got into a car. You know, I told her where she was going. Did you know that cracker didn't give me no damn tip, basically? Now, this a white woman. This a white woman. You know, she didn't even have the decency to give me a 10% tip. But mind you, that nigga probably was making $30 million a year. It wasn't like it was an issue. And I don't even think the fare was no more than $10.
Yeah. Wow.
You know what I'm saying? See, that's what type of Negroes they are. They don't do anything for the community. Anytime they do anything for the community, it's not dealing with programs like Baba Baruti or other programs that's Afrocentric.
Right.
Or anything that's going to liberate our people to a position of challenging this white man and his authority over us. It's always going to be some sort of situation to make you embrace the cracker more and more. You understand what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
It's just like when you go back to this whole thing with these fraternities. Here it is, these fraternities members are, I would say, honestly, the most talented in our community.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know, it's always a position that the only thing the Negroes will do is try to help one of their brothers and sisters get into the white man's house. But I always ask them this fundamentally thing. With all of the talent that you have and all of y'all Negroes who be out of work, why y'all ain't come together collectively as so-called fraternity and sorority sisters and brothers and build businesses, build institutions?
Yeah.
All y'all want to do is work for the white man and build up his sugar.
That's what we've been trained to do.
There you go, brother.
That's what was hurting to me when I was in Africa. And they told me, yes, we're going to prepare them to go to Europe. We're going to prepare them to go to France, to England, Germany, to study and stay.
Yeah.
A brain drain.
It's just like when
sick.
I was in Africa,
sad
man.
Sad and sick.
Yeah. And when I was in Africa, man, and you would notice some of the most finest dressed black men in the world. And you know what they would all be dressing? In that European style.
Yep.
That's what they did. So here it is. It's just like I had a brother yesterday that had picked me up. African brother. Do you know this brother was telling me how he came to this country and how he's now in the position to where he ain't even surviving? Because in New York, the cab business is just basically going to hell. That's why I gave it up.
Oh, yeah. Well,
the thing is, the brother's in so much debt, in so much position, that here it is, he got to start all over. You understand what I'm saying? Then, before him, I had an African brother from Ghana that been here for 31 years. Do you know, thank God, he's been able to educate all of his kids? And now he's ready to go back to Ghana because of the simple fact that he was smart enough to set things up in Ghana. Do you know his kids don't want him to go back to Ghana?
Right.
But mom,
right.
He's driving a cab every day, 10 to 12 hours a day, not making no money. He didn't do it the right way, like he was supposed to pay his taxes and put the necessary amount of money into Social Security.
Right.
Do you know he only getting $130 a month from Social Security?
Wow.
And he's like trying to tell his kids, I don't want you to take care of me. I have something back home.
Right.
To where I can go back home and handle my business. But they don't want him to. But, you know, the crazy thing is, like I was saying to him, you bring your kids here, you educated them, they lawyers, they doctors, and all of that. They supposed to place themselves in a position to go and follow you back home and build up Ghana.
Right.
Thank God.
That's what he's supposed to do.
You had enough love of being a Ghanaian because you spent half of your life in Ghana before you came here, that you didn't become totally brainwashed. Because if you became totally, totally brainwashed and didn't set yourself in any position to go back home with Brown,
right,
you would be in dire straits. Even though your kids will take care of you, but think about it. See, Oshie, we as a people are too caught up into this European value system that we are totally losing our way and getting caught in positions to where as we are effed up. He's not the only one. And I mean, I'm talking about a whole bunch of people in the cab industry that I know that are suffering, brother.
I know.
That are suffering.
Oh, listen, Jay.
They didn't prepare themselves economically.
Well, the thing is this.
I only did it because it was part-time.
Well, the thing is this. Many of the cab drivers, that cab is personally owned. That is their life. That is their business.
I know a guy that bought one that had a medallion because it's based on the medallion system on certain levels. He paid $550,000 for it.
Yes.
Now, others done paid more than that. Do you know he had to file for bankruptcy?
Yes.
And now, I was even thinking about going out there and buying the medallion. But I was saying, man, I don't really want the headache. Do you know you can get one now if you got $75,000 to $100,000 in cash that the banking industry will not give you a loan for a medallion? Now, mind you, 4 years ago, a medallion would have cost you $1 million.
Wow.
Now, the cost of a medallion in New York would probably be $100,000.
Even
and
that is.
Get one for cheaper.
Yeah, yeah. Well, look, yeah, yes, because of. Not, yes, not, be, not, yeah, not, Jay, yes, not, because of Lyft and Uber.
Now, let me tell you this. In New York State, what they just did to really put a little pinch on Uber and Lyft is that they made it to where as they have to pay their drivers $15 an hour. And that still ain't enough. Because they caught up into these lease buy situations right. And stuff like that. Matter of fact,
listen, Jay, I gotta go. I gotta go. I'm up against the time. But that's the understanding that there have been many cab drivers have committed suicide.
Yes.
Because of this whole situation. To me, artificial intelligence and all this and technology is a detriment. When you have more and more people and less jobs, that's the issue. Go ahead. Last word, Jason. I got to go.
Last word. Anybody out there that's playing the stock market or in the stock market, get a hold of Lyft or Uber stock going short. Talk to you later.
Peace, Jay. Have a great weekend, brother. Brothers and sisters, we end this program like we end all of our programs with the words of Stephen Biko. The most potent weapon in the hands of the oppressor is the minds of the oppressed. And this program is dedicated and committed to helping to free the African mind. But not just the M-I-N-D, but the M-I-N-E, because under the feet of African people lies all of the resources that everybody wants, think they can't do without, and they don't want to pay for. Brothers and sisters, you have a great weekend, a safe weekend. You enjoy yourself this weekend. Shem Hotep means go in peace. Esante Sana means thank you. And Abibi Vahodia means our victorious destiny. We will conquer for sure. Have a blessed and wonderful weekend, family. Peace.